Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church this morning. It's lovely to be here. I'm sure everyone's broken out their winter woolies again, having probably put them away unexpectedly, but here we are, and welcome this morning. We've come together to meet with God, to express our fellowship in the Lord Jesus, and to take our part in the building of his church. We will praise and thank him for his goodness towards us, hear from his holy word, and pray for the world and for ourselves. Since we believe that Jesus, our Saviour, has ascended into heaven and opened the way into God's presence for us, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Let us hold fast to the hope we profess and consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. It's wonderful to have an improving situation with the pandemic, but the recent improvements for churches actually don't have a practical effect for us. If we wanted 300 people, I'm not sure we could all fit in anyway, but let's see how we all go. But please keep praying for everyone who's been involved and impacted by the events around the pandemic. We're very excited today to have Stephen and Susie Gibson with us. Stephen helped us as a locum in 2018 when we were finding our new minister, and Trevor, our senior minister, is having a two-week break. So he and Rosemary are travelling and will be back with us in 2 weeks' time. So Stephen, thank you for joining us again today. It's really lovely to have you back, and very excited about that. So we're having a short break from Romans as well, and Stephen's talking to us today from the book of James. I'm going to open our time together now with a word of prayer, so please pray with me. God, our Father, we pray that the message of your Son will dwell richly among us as we teach and admonish one another with the wisdom you give and sing with thankfulness in our hearts to you. And whatever we do in word or deed, may it be done in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and for his glory. Amen. We have an amazing God who looks after us every day and in many different ways. This is so normal for us that we're at risk of taking things for granted and presuming on God's provision for us. So let's say this prayer of thanksgiving together, where we acknowledge our Creator and Sovereign Father and his goodness for us. Together. Gracious God, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given to us, for life and health and safety, for power to work, leisure to rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour, Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. With the pandemic restrictions, we can't sing together, so I thought rather than singing, let's stand and say Psalm 47. So this psalm helps us recognise God as the awesome Lord who deserves our praises. So please stand and let's say this together. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. For the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King above all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. For the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. Amen. Please be seated. I'd now like to ask Janice to come up and read the passage for us and then Stephen to preach. And as they do, let me pray for us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for inspiring all Scripture by the Holy Spirit. Help us by your Spirit so to hear your holy word, that we may be equipped for every good work through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The reading this morning is from James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be back at Abbotsford with everyone, and lovely to be with you today. Those who don't know me, my name's Stephen Gibson. I work for Anglicare, and I look after the chaplains who work in hospitals and prisons. And I have one police chaplain as well and one juvenile justice chaplain. So I have 36 chaplains I look after altogether, 22 in hospital, 12 in prison, one juvenile justice and one police. And all of my chaplains have been able to keep working through COVID. The volunteers that work in alongside the chaplains have had to stand down, including at least one person here, Margaret, who helps at Concord Hospital. But the volunteers have returned in the Wollongong region, and we're praying that they'll be able to return in the other areas soon, and that would be wonderful. And one of the things my chaplains have said to me that during the restrictions of COVID is actually, although they're first and foremost there for the inmates and for the patients, they're also there for the staff, and they've had their best conversations with staff ever this year. During COVID in particular, people have been, staff have been, you know, like all of us, a little bit on edge, and they've just said they've had wonderful conversations with staff during this year, which is great. Let me pray as we come to look into God's word. Dear Lord, we do pray that you would speak to us through your word. Help us to understand what you are saying to us. And we do pray that we will not just be hearers of your word, but doers also. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's a question. Which is worse, the tie or the glasses? What do you think? I wonder who that person is on the screen. A slightly younger version of me when my hair was an entirely different colour and still had curls in it. Okay. A friend sent me this photo recently, just a couple of weeks ago, one of my former staff members, with this caption, which was worse, the tie or the glasses. Now, big glasses are coming back, in case you didn't know. Before I went into the ministry, I actually worked as an optometrist. And during the 80s, everyone couldn't get frames big enough. Everyone wanted bigger and bigger frames. And then they went down to really, really small ones. And now the frames are getting bigger again. So if you're going to the optometrist in the next little while, you'll probably be offered slightly larger frames than you had before. Everything goes around, doesn't it? And comes around. But the question I did actually want to ask you is not which is worse, the tie or the glasses. Can you listen to too many sermons? Well, that's a good question. Can you listen to too many sermons? There's the story of the minister who was preaching on love your neighbour. And he was a slightly older minister, and he gave the sermon one week, and he turned up to church the next week and he began exactly the same sermon again. And someone came up to him at morning tea afterwards and they said, I don't know if you realised that you actually said that sermon last week. And he said, yes, but none of you are doing it yet, so I thought I'd do it again. can you listen to too many sermons? Yes, if you don't put them into practice. If you don't put them into practice. James chapter 1 verse 22 says, don't just be doers of the word. It says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, and don't deceive yourselves. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So the principle in that we're looking at today is obeying is more than just hearing, isn't it? Something's got to make a difference in your life. Let me just reread to you from verse 23. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at their face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Looking at yourself in the mirror can be a little bit off-putting. In fact, on more than one occasion, I gave a person a new pair of glasses and I said, Dorothy, how are you getting on with your new glasses? And she said, I don't like them. There's more creases in my face than I remember from before. I'm more wrinkles than I realised were there before. Looking at yourself in the mirror can get a bit hard. I get up in the morning and I look in the mirror and I think, what's my father doing in the mirror? Has anyone had that experience where you think, what's my dad doing there? Where did he come from? We used to do a thing in high school scripture where we'd get some kids to come out the front and we'd offer them a book. And we said, we want you to open this book and we want you to look at this page for a minute. And the kids would all say, easy. Actually, it was a special book. It actually just had a mirror inside it. And they'd open the book and they'd have to look at their own face for a minute. Almost no one lasted a minute. It's actually very hard, particularly in a group setting where you're under a bit of pressure, to actually keep looking at your own face for a long time. It's a bit confronting, particularly if you weren't expecting it. And that's exactly what James is saying here. He's saying we have to be people who don't just listen to the word, but put it into practice in our lives. And he's using a negative example, and then he'll go on to use a positive example. The negative example is, he says, it's like a person who looks at themselves in the mirror and then looks away and doesn't do anything about it. Doesn't do anything about it. It's like if you're treating God's word that way. God's word shows us what we're like, doesn't it? God's word reflects back to us the shocking truth that we are sinful, that we've rebelled against God, that we've ignored God, that we don't deserve life. Rather, what we deserve is judgment and death. What we need is forgiveness and we need to be changed. The truth hurts, doesn't it? The truth hurts. And so often people look away. It's not a popular message to hear what God is saying to us in his word. It's easier to look away, isn't it? That's the negative example, but obeying is different to hearing. Verse 25, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, will be blessed by what they do. Here's the positive example. If we hold on to God's word, we'll be changed by God's word, won't we? If you hold to my teaching, Jesus said in John chapter 8, if you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. If someone hears God's word and obeys it, the discovery is that God's word brings freedom. God's word brings freedom. God's perfect law liberates us from self-deception. Blessed is the man who not only hears what it says, but puts it into practice in their lives. Can you see there's a great paradox in the Christian life, that the Christian message brings freedom? Your friends and relatives who aren't Christians think the opposite, don't they? They actually think if you become a Christian, it's like a confining thing. Are there any Doctor Who fans in the room here? Do you remember the Doctor Who? And the TARDIS, remember the TARDIS? On the outside, what's it look like? Telephone box. When you walk inside it, what happens? It's massive inside. Being a Christian is like that. On the outside, it looks like it's a telephone box. It's really confining. But you walk through a door and suddenly it opens up to a large space on the inside. Being a Christian is like that. It appears at first, oh, this is the law, God's law. It'll confine what I can do. But actually, it's the law that sets you free. The law that sets you free. One of the wonderful collects prayers in the prayer book, Thomas Cranmer's wonderful prayers, says, help us remember that your service is perfect freedom. To serve God is to find perfect freedom, isn't it? It's not a confining thing at all. If you hold to my teaching, says Jesus, you'll really be my disciples. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So the principle being established here is very clear. Obeying the word is different to hearing. And we've heard the negative example. If you hear the word and don't do it, we deceive ourselves. But if we hear the word and do it, we will find freedom. When I was in a student Christian group at New South Wales Uni, I learnt this lesson. I was already a Christian, but I was someone who wanted to believe the verses in the Bible I liked more than the ones I didn't like, if you know what I mean. And it sort of came to a bit of a crunch. I was in a small group at one stage, and we were just looking at 1 Timothy, where it says you should pray for kings and all those in authority, that we may live in peaceful, quiet lives, and in all godliness and holiness. You and I are instructed from the scriptures to pray for our government leaders. It's a command in the scriptures to do it. I said at the time, I'll pray for them if I'd voted for them. And another friend in the group said, well, are you going to do what God says or what you prefer? And they had me, didn't they? And I realised that I needed to change. Now, it's worth remembering the first Christians who received this word from Paul the Apostle, at the time, when they prayed for the emperor, it was either Caligula or Nero. Now, whatever you think about Scott Morrison and Anthony Albanese, they're better than them, aren't they? Okay? So when you're praying for your leaders, it's a command. You don't just pray for them if you voted for them, okay? The scriptures are clear. It's just a small example, but it helped me understand that I need to sit underneath God's word, don't I? I can't sit beside it or over it. I need to sit underneath it. And there's many verses in the scripture that I absolutely love, but there's others that are a bit confronting. But still, I have to sit under that word, and that's the word that gives me freedom if I follow through on it. Now, James is a wonderful book. It doesn't let us off lightly. And James could just stop there, but he gives us 3 very pertinent examples for us to finish with today. our tongue, generosity, and not letting the world corrupt you. So let's have a look at these one by one. The tongue. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. For any people working in pastoral care, the first two are basic principles, aren't they? If you want to talk with someone, particularly someone in a time of need, you start by listening, don't you? Two ears, one mouth. Use them in ratio. Lots of listening before you do speaking. And losing your temper does not help. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. James will spend quite a bit of time later in the book, which we're not going to get to, in chapter 3, on taming the tongue, he talks about. He says, the tongue is a small piece of the body, but it's very powerful, isn't it? And he uses the example later on, it's like a rudder for a ship. Some of you will have driven past Circular Quay and seen back in the days when there were cruise ships, remember those? That's right, remember those? You can have a massive ship. Aren't they huge, some of those ships? How big's the rudder on a ship? Not that big. Much, much smaller. And James says, in the same way, the tongue can control the whole body, can't it? If you can learn to tame your tongue, you're on a long way to actually taming the whole body, aren't you? It's the hardest part of the body to tame, says the book of James. Dear brothers and sisters, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And then James goes on to talk about the fact that and he uses all these three challenges as examples of true Christian obedience, true religion. We should be generous. Anglicare, at this time of the year, like many other charities, will be raising provisions for people around Christmas, won't they? And I know your church and many others do toys and tucker, and it's a wonderful thing to do, isn't it? To bring together some food and some other things that can be distributed to families who are doing it tough. And during COVID, we know even more people are doing it tough, aren't they? People are losing their jobs. There are the homeless. There's people who are living alone, the elderly, single mums, and many people who have, during this time, lost their jobs. One of my chaplains is 65 years of age, and he was working 2 days a week, and he's changed to working 5 days a week, and he said, Stephen, I feel a bit funny about it, but I've become the breadwinner for my whole family. My wife has a lot less work, and 3 adult children have moved home because they've all lost their jobs. I've become the breadwinner for 5 adults and I'm 65. And I said, Andy, don't worry about it. You could do this for 10 years and then run for president of the United States and you'd be the average age of the people who are running. So, you know, don't feel bad about it. Just keep going. But a lot of people have had to make adjustments during this time, haven't they? And I know a few husbands and wives who one has lost a lot of their work and one's actually had to pick up more work to compensate. And other people have just lost their jobs altogether. They estimate that 1 in 4 adult children in their kind of young adult children, sort of in their 20s and early 30s, 1 in 4 have moved home with mum and dad because they've lost work. Others have been made homeless, haven't they? And it is a time every year leading up to Christmas, but particularly this year, when it's a good time to be generous, isn't it? And the Apostle James says to us here, and he'll say it again in chapter 2, love your neighbour as yourself. As Christians, we're to be generous and loving to others as God is to us, particularly to those in the greatest need. And James singles out orphans and widows at this time, orphans and widows. There's a lady in our congregation at Miranda who is who's a widow, and my adult son went round yesterday to help her figure out how she could get BBC back up on Foxtel. She'd something gone wrong. She needed IT help. We're the same. We get our son, Tim, to come over and we say, could you just download this app on my phone? He comes in the door. So we've sent her around. Tim went round to see this lady in the congregation to fix up something on a TV that wasn't working right and to show her how to buy Coles online because she wanted to do that, but she was a bit overwhelmed by that, and a couple of other things around the house that she was struggling with, and caring for widows, caring for people who are by themselves, who sometimes the thing you're struggling with is making that silly thing work on your computer. It's driving you crazy. And looking after others at this time. The third thing that James says here, after the tongue and true generosity, is refusing to let the world corrupt you. Verse 21 in this passage says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. James is telling us that when you become a Christian, it's almost like changing your clothes. He's sort of saying, the word he uses here is take off. He's saying that the world has stained you and you need to take off those old clothes and put on different clothes. You need to take off the old ways of the world, the moral filth and evil. Later on in this book, you'll say friendship with the world can be hatred towards God. Chapter 4, verse 4, friendship with the world equals hatred towards God. What he's saying to us here is God has planted his word in your hearts when you become a Christian. And we need to nurture that word by getting rid of the other muck in our lives, don't we? So the word can grow in our lives. Are there any good gardeners in the congregation today? Good gardeners? Come on, you're being too... Oh, there's some excellent gardeners here, I know. If you want the plants to grow, you've got to get the other things out of the way, haven't you? And having planted and spent good money at the nursery buying that stuff, you want to give it the best chance of growing, haven't you? And God has planted his word in your hearts when you became a Christian. And he wants that word to grow in you. And that's what he's saying here. Verse 21, get rid of all moral filth and evil that's so prevalent and humbly accept the word that's been planted in you, which can save you. And then he picks that idea up in our final verse again, where he says, keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now that can take a lot of different forms, can't it? And I suppose all of us, as you reflect, and God will show you, what are the things that you need to change in this regard? What are the worldly behaviours that are still staining you, and perhaps you're a bit too comfortable with them and unwilling to change them? What is it that God wants you to change? So the principle of hearing and doing, we've heard it very clearly today. Being a Christian is not just hearing, but putting things into practice in your life. You've been doing a series on the book of Romans where we've heard very clearly that we're saved by grace. We can't make ourselves acceptable to God. We need to receive God's grace. But having come to Christ, having become Christians, we need to mature and grow in our Christian life. And we need God's word to take root in our lives and grow and mature. And we need to remove the obstacles that are in the way. Now, the book of James is not the only place that talks about hearing and doing. Back in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says similar things in Matthew and Luke's gospel. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And then he tells the story of the two builders. Do you remember the story of the house on the rock and the house on the sand? Some of you can probably even picture children's books that I remember reading to my own children, even the ones that were read to me. And the house on the rock in the children's books was up, higher. The house on the rock. And the house on the sand literally was down in the dry river valley, you know. And the contrast was extreme. I want to suggest to you that's not what Jesus meant in the story. He's imagining two very similar houses beside each other in Abbotsford. One has no adequate foundations and one does. And most of the time you can't tell the difference. You can't tell the difference until the storm comes, like today. The wind blows and the rain pours down. And it's on that day you discover which house doesn't actually have good foundations, don't you? Which house is not properly built from the ground up. And that's what he's saying to us. Everyone sitting in church today is hearing God's word. All of us are hearing God's word. It's harder to tell who's obeying God's word, isn't it? Much harder to tell. Some of us are, and some of us aren't. And even your neighbour can't tell. But eventually the crisis will come, and our foundations will be exposed. And will we be amongst the wise or the foolish on that day, is what Jesus is saying to us. So, in conclusion, can you listen to too many sermons? No, if you put them into practice in your life. Let's pray that God will help us to do that. Dear Lord, help us to not just be hearers of your word, but doers also. Free us from the deception of self-rule and help us to grasp the truth that your service is indeed perfect freedom. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Stephen. I've got another mental picture this week. We've got a new puppy at home who's 12 weeks old, and so we're training her. And any command you provide is apparently a suggestion to a puppy. And so I think God's word has more than suggestions for us as well. They are commands. And so I was just thinking, maybe did you hear Stephen's challenge for all of us in there? That we all sit here and we listen to the word, but there's a question there about what do I need to change? What am I hearing but not doing? And in what way do I make myself look okay because I'm sitting here, but in fact before God, there's something I need to change. So is there somewhere where I'm too comfortable? And I thought maybe we should give ourselves a minute or two to just think about that individually and say, where am I too comfortable and where am I listening but not doing what God has asked? So perhaps give that a little bit of thought for a few minutes and let's see what we need to change as well. With our emphasis today on God's word, I think it's appropriate for us to acknowledge him as we listen to this song, Your Word. Please stay seated as we can't yet enjoy singing together and we'll hear it played for us.
Your word is good, it's ever faithful, worth more than gold. Heart's delight. Your word gives life to all who hear and obey. Your word endures forever. Your word is true. It never changes. sustains it still. Your word defends, providing refuge and strength. Your word endures forever. Your word is a lamp unto my
As I said before, today's passage is a challenge for us. We know that we do not fully put God's word into action. We know that our tongues can get away from us. We know that we don't look after widows and orphans in the way we could. We know that the world distracts and captures our eye. We are very conscious of our sinful nature before a holy and righteous God. The Bible also tells us not to hide our sins from God, our Heavenly Father, but to confess them with a repentant and obedient heart so that we may be forgiven through his boundless goodness and mercy. So let us approach the throne of our gracious God with a true heart of full assurance and faith and pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. Almighty God and loving Father, we rejoice that you have demonstrated your righteousness through presenting Christ as a sacrifice of atonement for us. We trust that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and sincerely believe your holy gospel. Grant us true repentance and your Holy Spirit, that we may live godly, righteous and holy lives and finally come to your eternal glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we start our time of prayer together, let's say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Tina, I'll ask you to come up and pray for us now.
What a wondrous God we have. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can call you Father because of what you've done for us, for your mercy, your kindness and compassion. You are a sovereign God. You are without beginning or end, and no one can compare to you. Oh, Heavenly Father, we bring our cares and concerns to you, for we put our trust in you. We particularly think of governing authorities throughout the world. We ask for wisdom for these leaders and governors and presidents. Oh Lord, particularly through the COVID-19. In this pandemic, Lord, we see many questions, we see many anxieties and concerns. We ask that these leaders throughout the world will manage with wisdom good decisions for the people, for what is right and for what is good. We ask that you would prosper those who are trying to find a vaccine. And in trying to find a vaccine, Lord, that it would be an ethical thing. Nothing used that is not used as you would use. Ethical in the sense of not using aborted fetuses to get this vaccine. Lord, we want things to be right and good. And these are questions that we ask. And help us, all of us throughout the world, to think about the decisions we make. Particularly those who are working on the vaccine. May it be right and may it be good. Help them, O God, because you have the guidance, you have the wisdom that is right and good. We ask, O God, that you will protect and strengthen those who are working with the sick. O Lord, they are doing such a wonderful job. And Lord, it is so hard and tiresome. Give them the strength that they need and the protection that they need in this terrible situation. And we particularly think of countries who do not have the facilities or the medical supplies. Countries like Iran who've been cut off because of restrictions from other countries. And the people there suffer and they have no aid. Oh Lord, please be merciful. May you comfort the sick. May you comfort those who mourn the loss of loved ones. And those who live in fear and anxiety. They would find peace and comfort in you, oh God. For you are sovereign. You are a God of comfort and love. And we ask, Lord, that people would see Jesus in your people who live alongside them in this situation. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. For nations continuing throughout the world. We want integrity and truth, O God, particularly with leaders, governing authorities, and places of education, but also among the press and media, so that people will make informed and appropriate decisions for their neighbours and communities. We ask for truth, a very small word, but a very big meaning. And in this world, the truth seems to have been cast aside, O God. Rise up, people who can speak the truth in all places of authority, press. O Lord, we thank you for people who are so dedicated to finding the truth, people who really want to bring truth to the world, who want to be honest, good citizens, love their neighbours. But, O Lord, we want them to know you above everything, because you are truth. We do not want lies, O God, and we can only put our trust in you in this situation. The violence and people's desires spread throughout the world, and sometimes, Lord, it's hard. It's hard to see. It's hard to watch. It's hard to live in, particularly in the Western world. We long to see your word proclaimed, nations turn to you, and this is what we would like for the world, so they can come to Jesus as their Saviour and Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. May we pray for your church, O God, worldwide, that it may see revival in the hearts and minds of men and women and children, that your saving power will spread among all nations. We also think of those, our brothers and sisters in Christ, who are being persecuted for their faith in Jesus. O Lord, help them to stand firm. May they be aware of your comfort and strength, particularly the orphaned because their parents have been slaughtered because of their faith in Jesus. We ask for provision for all of these people, persecuted, their families, their children, brothers and sisters of ours, O God. We ask provision for them and generosity from their local churches, so that they too will stand with them, and ask that they will continue to be able to grow in Jesus and still share his love amongst this situation and amongst the persecutors. But we also ask that you would turn the hearts of persecutors to you, that they would come to know Jesus as their Saviour and Lord. And we ask this in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. We bring before you our country, O God. Mixed things are going on. There's lies, there's disruption, there's panic, there's anxiety, there's fears, but there's also greed, and there's also desire. Our nation seems lost from you, O God, as we look around. They've turned away. Please, O God, refresh us, your country here in Australia, with your Holy Spirit. We long for your will and purposes to be declared more fully, your values to be upheld more firmly. Strengthen your church. Equip us to be what you want us to be. We also thank you for those who work in our local communities and communities here in Sydney. Oh God, we ask that, especially for Anglicare and their prison chaplains, may these prison chaplains have listening ears, loving hearts, wisdom to know when to pray and to point the way to Christ. That those they minister to will actually see Jesus they will find him. They will know him personally in their own lives and have the strength to follow him each day. We also pray for the staff amongst whom they come into contact with. And we ask too that they will be drawn to you by the power of your Spirit, to know Jesus for themselves and to have the wisdom that you have. May the residents feel supported and safe with them and come to faith in Jesus. May the Holy Spirit be the comfort and inspiration while working in this environment. We thank you for these prison chaplains, O God, and we thank you for Anglicare again, your servant amongst the people, your service and love. Thank you that they serve these people in the prisons. Thank you that they're reaching out to communities at this time of year coming to Christmas. We thank you for the Toys and Tucker appeal. We ask for provision for this appeal so that all those in need will be able to receive supplies at this special time of year. May the generosity and love of Christ be evident to them. Thanks to you, our gracious and loving Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. For our church, O Lord, we thank you for those who've gone out to serve you and to extend your kingdom. For Kim Patterson in Ireland and the Farsis in WA, we ask that they will be encouraged and uplifted in their work. Please provide all that they need and that their example may be a way for them to build bridges for the gospel. And we thank you for St Andrews, keeping us grounded in your word. Help us to be light, even in these circumstances during COVID. We pray for safety and refreshment for Trevor and Rosemary during their holiday. And we pray for those who are not well, recovering or struggling and are weary, the discouraged. And we think particularly of Jean Steele, Kay Woodcock, Max Schweitzer, Lynn and Graham Clark. Please give your strength in weakness and comfort in pain and difficulty, for hope in uncertainty and doctor's wisdom to know how best to help them. We also think of Audrey at the loss of her sister, and we think of her, O God, in her mourning. We pray, O God, that she may be very aware of your comfort and love during this time. May we leave these people in your care. For we put in trust in you, O God, because you are the healer and helper of all. May we, your congregation, live by faith, walk in hope, and be renewed by your Holy Spirit. And thanks be to you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the hope in the Spirit, the work of Christ, and the sovereignty of God. And we leave these things with you, O God, at your feet, in the saving power of Jesus Christ and in his name. Amen.
I'm going to finish with a set prayer for the day. Almighty and eternal God, grant that we may grow in faith, hope, and love, and that we may obtain what you promised. Make us love what you command, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So a couple of announcements. It's been mentioned both by Stephen in the sermon and by Tina then praying. Toys and Tucker collection is available for people to drop off appropriately for Anglicare at the side of the church there. Thanks everyone who already has done so. Where's Janice? How much longer do we have before that gets picked up? Someone know? Janice knows. Here she is. Oh, okay, so we've got November. So there's still a decent amount of time to be able to contribute in that way. So thank you, everyone, for doing that. The other announcement I just thought I'd draw your attention to from the news and notes is Anthony Swales is, again, going on the same mission trip that he did last year off to the Central Coast with his university Christian group. Those who were here last year would remember that he was very encouraged by that. And the impact that they were able to have as a team with the work they were doing there. And so there's information about that on the notice board just inside the foyer on the other side of the wall there, if you wanted to read more about that and ways to help Anthony, particularly financially at this time, but also in prayer for the mission trip as well. So I bring that to your attention too. We're going to say the creed now in terms of what we believe. And of course, Christians have used statements of faith like this for hundreds of years to unite us in a common statement about our beliefs. So let's stand and say this together. Do you believe in God the Father? We believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in God the Son? We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So let's say this prayer together now as well to close our service. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a wonderful week, everyone, and thank you for being here today.